and verse 1. Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. And verse 1 says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. And they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them from out before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, forgive me, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." We are not starting off with a happy story. They are in a bad condition. Now, here in America, we are blessed. I'll say it again. We have food. We have ways to get food. We've got all the stuff we need. We have never had an outright foreign invader such as this. We've got our issues. We've got some invasion. But we don't have this. To where when you go to the grocery store, it's empty. And when you get tired of going to the grocery store and finding it empty, you start growing food in your backyard, and the enemy comes and takes it and destroys it. We don't know what that's like. As a matter of fact, many of us, we don't know what real hunger is. And praise the Lord if that's you. And if that's not you, if you've ever felt hunger like that, I'm so very sorry. I pray you never feel it again. They were having a hard time, to say the least. And now suddenly the Lord is there and he's listening and he goes, I've always been right here. I brought you up out of this. I brought you up out of that. I blessed you in this way. I gave you a rule. You broke the rule. And because of that, you want to go to these people? There you go. Here you are in their hands. And what turns the tide? They cry unto the Lord. Because up to that point, they had forgotten him. Up to that point, they had rejected him. And when all else failed, then they went back to him. I hate that bumper sticker. You ever see that bumper sticker? When everything else fails, try Jesus. Why would you wait? Why would you waste the resources? Why would you wait until you're at your wit's end, you're stressed, your nerves are shot? Why wait? Why not go there first? But they traded their God for ones made out of stone, for ones made out of trade and enterprise and money. And they found themselves in a pickle. Verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all of this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us unto the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him." Now I want to take a second. I want to look at this. You send this prophet down here to tell us that God's always with us and he's done all these wonderful things, and because we messed up, now we're in the hands of the Midianites, right? You just abandon us. How dare you abandon us? And the Lord looked at him. The Lord looked at him. You wonder why the Lord was able to look at him? Because he didn't abandon him. He was there because he was always there. We get so caught up in our trials and tribulations trying to figure out why when we already know why. I was showing Caspi, and I've got a little scar on my finger. It's just a little thing. But I got it because I wasn't being careful with cleaning the slicer at work. I used to work at a sub shop, and I wasn't being very careful, and I wasn't following the rules. And why did that happen? I know why it happened. I was there. Well, why did this happen? Why was there this storm? We know why storms happen. They happen because there's something in the atmosphere trying to correct itself, and there's these explosions that get kicked off, pressure systems and all that. You could Google that. There's YouTube out there if you don't like to read. They'll tell you why storms happen. Yeah, but why would God let these things to happen? It was never in God's perfect plan for that to happen. God's perfect plan was what? Us in the garden. No sweat in our brow, no pain in childbirth, that we would dwell in peace with the world we lived in, that we would drink from the dew of the land and not from the flooding of it. Right? There are churches, and I saw churches that we would fellowship with, canceling their services on Wednesday. Why? Because the road to get to them was flooded. That was never part of God's perfect plan. But because we're sinners, because we messed up, now we have his permissive will. This is what's going to happen, and this is what I'm going to do to fix it. We know why. God never intended for the why. Of course, he knew it would have to happen. He had a plan around it. But if we would have done everything the way he told us to do it, it wouldn't have worked that way. And by the way, if you're confused as to what I'm talking about, there's God's perfect will. Stay in the garden, eat of the fruit, don't touch that. That's his perfect will. What's his permissive will? When you do it, and inevitably you will, this is what I'm going to do. Because he could force us. He could snatch away our free will. He could kill every single last one of us. He could turn us into weird-shaped puppets. But that's not his will. He doesn't want that. He wants you to have free will. He wants you to have choice. That's the way it is. We know why. And we can't blame God. You know what? Why did my neighbor get into a car wreck? Why did my dad get cancer? Why did that tree fall down on that house? There was a house in our neighborhood we saw just a few streets over from where we used to live. Had a gas, some kind of gas explosion or something like that in the middle of the night. Just a few streets over, down where Brother Hillard lives. Actually, a few streets over from where he lives now. Why? We know the math. We know the science. We know what took place there. But we can't sit there and whatever's going on and saying, well, God, where are you? He's right where he always has been. Where's God today? Short answer, everywhere. Specific and heartwarming answer, he is in this book. He's in this book. When was the last time you were in this book looking for God? Not in this book to check a checklist. Not in this book because your pastor won't shut up about it. Not in this book because you want to be a good Christian and you know you're expected to. In this book looking for God. When was the last time? I'm talking desperately seeking him. How about in prayer? He dwells around you. He's everywhere around you. He can hear you. He even dwells within your heart. How often do you talk to him? We can't say we don't. We can't ask God where he's been if we're not talking to him. Now, in this particular case, they walked away from God. God didn't walk away from them. They walked away from him. Well, we're going to go do this stuff over here. Do we daily walk with God? Do we obey Him? Do we talk to Him? Do we read His Word? Do we have regular fellowship with Him? Because that's where He is. Man, I've known some people, they skip church just as easily as skipping down the street. I'm not talking about illnesses. I'm not talking about physical restraints. We've got enough of that going on in our church. I'm not picking on that. That is a reality. Some folks, man, to get out of bed is a wonder. But I'm talking people that sit there and go, oh, it's too sunny outside. I better go golfing. Oh, it's too cold outside. I better stay in. Oh, it's rainy. I'd rather stay home with a cup of tea. Talking people who've got the physical ability, nothing bothering them in the world, and they're still like, you know what? I got something better to do. Where's the Lord? He's in His house. Bible says where two or three are gathered, the Spirit is there. You ever gather two or three friends together just to pray together over something? Just to encourage each other spiritually. Man, we had another good one on Friday. We got together. We did our morning devotion thing. Talked till 11 o'clock and we stayed on subject of the Bible. It's weird. I love those days. Man, sometimes we'll get together and I'm not picking, you know, we have a good time. We'll get together and we will sit there till 11 o'clock. There's been times we've gone into lunch and then went out to lunch. Still on the Bible. But of course there's other moments where we're there for about 5 minutes and say, well, what do you think? And then politics or what's going on in the neighborhood or what chores I got to do today. And I'm not knocking, we have a good time, but I love it when you get two or three people together. Changes the tone of the entire day. We can't ask God where He is because we know where He is. I found that particularly funny, and I don't know why it's funny, because it condemns me so. Lord, what's going on here? Lord, you see what's going on? What's happening? I'm right here. I didn't leave you. I'm right here. And I love this. Let's take a quick little look at this. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Why, Lord? Why is this going on? Where were you? What's happening here? Do you see his answer? Look for it. Because I don't. I don't see him answering the question, where you been? I don't see him answering the question, why is this going on? You know what the Lord does? Here's the beauty and the splendor of our God. He goes, here's the solution. Here's the solution. There are far too many people obsessed with why things happen, and they forget that God is the source of the cure. He can cure whatever's going on. And not just in a wave of a hand. Sometimes that's how he does it, right? He speaks to the storm and the storm calms. And I love that. I love when I read that in the Bible where he just kind of stands up and rebukes the wind. Like a father rebuking a bunch of noisy children. Just got up. Peace! Okay. Calm down. The wind and the seas and the waves. Are just, all right, we're good. We're good. We'll be still. We'll be calm. Sometimes he does it with a wave of his hand. Sometimes he does it in different ways. Like, here are the things you're going to have to do. And if you do what I've asked you to do, you will have peace. You will have comfort. You will have calm. And I and you, no doubt, have had times in our lives where God is expecting out of us a mighty man or a woman of valor. But we're hungry, we're hurting, and we're scared. And we look at our situation, and we see how terrible, how dire, how frustrating it is. And we want to give up, we want to have a temper tantrum. Isn't that weird? As a full-grown adult, you ever find yourself tempted to throw a temper tantrum? Now, you probably don't call it that. I'm just frustrated. I'm just angry. I don't know why I said that. We become like toddlers in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. We We want to have a tantrum. We want to have a cry. We want to throw things. We get frustrated. We get sad. We get miserable. We want to close the drapes. We want to hide in the dark because we don't feel like mighty men or women of valor. And we obsess with why. Well, what does it matter why? The fact of the matter is, things on this earth are going to happen the way they always have. There will be storms. There will be diagnoses. There will be funerals. There will be weeping. There will be goodbyes and loss. Some things, the why doesn't matter. What matters instead is this: the how do I fix this? There's nothing you can do. Once you burn a crop to the ground, there's nothing you can do to get that crop back. Nothing. You can rebuild, you can plant a new one, but you can't rebuild it. They could sit there, they could catch every Midianite by the tail, dangle them, as my grandfather used to say, by their toenails. I was reminded of this. We had a family get together. We were talking about some of the things my grandpa died when I was, I think it was around 11. And he used to take us down to his basement. He had a pool table down there, and he would make pool cues for us. And he'd put the tip on and put different things like that. But he had special ones that he had that were just his. We were not allowed to touch them. And if we touched them, he promised to dangle us by our toenails from the ceiling. Now, of course, this man wouldn't do any sort of thing to us. Like, he was very gentle. But they could catch those Midianites right there by their toenails, hanging from the ceiling. And that crop wasn't coming back. You could sit there and nail down specifically. The Lord sent a prophet. The prophet was preaching that message. This is why this happened. You could know exactly why it happened. Well, this happened because the stars aligned on the vernal equinox. Somebody opened a bag of Lay's potato chips. It was the wrong flavor. And this is what happened. Go ahead. But it is not the steps that got us there that matter anymore. We can't go back. What we can do is find a way to move forward. What we can do is lean on God for all that he has. And I kind of see Gideon's remark here, and I think we've all kind of talked like this before, where, and Gideon said unto him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us?" Right? Why? And delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 15, and he said unto him, "Oh my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. You call me a mighty man of valor. I ain't got nothing. I don't have the patience. I don't have the strength. I don't have the money. I don't have an army. How am I supposed to do it?" And there's a lot of stress in that thought. How am I supposed to? How am I going to do this? I don't have this and I don't have that. Verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee." Hey, Caspian, what we're going to do is we're going to go down to the block. We're going to go get some stuff from the store that we need to do some chores, right? We need leaf bags. We need gloves. We need things like that. We're going to drive down there. "Dad, how am I supposed to do it? I can't reach the gas pedal. I don't have any money. How am I supposed to do this?" No, son. I'm going to drive the car. I'm going to pay for the things. Surely I'm going with you. I'm not telling you do it alone. I'm telling you we are going to go do this. Because here's the thing. I can do something all by myself and ask my kids to help me. But I don't do anything without God. He's always with you. He's always with me. He's always with you. You're not on your own power. You're not. If you knew much about my testimony, you'd understand I wouldn't even be here. I was an hour away from not having to be here. And a few times after that, one squeeze of a trigger, a few minutes, and one friend who didn't show up at the right time, I wouldn't be here. We are all under God's hand. we are all nestled within it at the same time, where we are loved, protected, given power and courage. In our sad times, it is Him that provides for us comfort. In the tasks that seem too large, too grand for us, in the things where we are certain of our limited ability, God is there to make the difference. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get you through this. I don't know how I'm supposed to accomplish this. I'm going to accomplish it through you. I like that word, surely. Surely. There's two ways to read this, I have found. There's two ways to read it. One is sarcastically. Surely I'm going to be there. Come on, you know I'm going to go with you. You've got to know I'm a part of this. You're not doing this alone. You're not even driving. You're riding shotgun. I will get you through this. When you have no comfort, I will provide it. When you have no strength, it'll be mine. I will. Now, secondly, that word surely can be read as a rock hard thing to stand on. Surely. Make sure you tie that knot surely. Make sure you're hanging on tight of an absolute. Surely. Of an absolute, I will give you my wisdom. Of an absolute, I will stand with you. Of an absolute, I'm not going to abandon you. You are not doing this by yourself, because just as sure as I am who I am, I will accomplish my work. It says, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. The answer to our problems is not just found in ourselves. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's not. You're not going to be able to find it all in yourself. You might be able to wing a thing here or there. You might be able to push yourself through. But oh, how depleted. Oh, how frustrated. Oh, how anxious you will become when you try to handle all of the problems and all of the challenges in your own strength. What you need is the Lord. Well, you know, not everything can be solved by belief in God. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. There have been moments in my life where I've laid in bed and I not wanted to get back out. I just assumed, let the Lord come and take me where I was. I didn't come to my senses. I didn't get over it. There was no magic wand that was waved over me. You know who got me out of that bed that morning and every morning after? The Lord. Hey, listen, here's the challenge that I'm bringing into your life, Matt. These are the things that you're going to have to do. Oh, well, see, here's the thing. I'm too clumsy, I'm too awkward, and I'm really not all that smart, Lord. There's just, you're picking the wrong target here. I am a bent instrument. You don't want me. Who is it that makes me do it anyway? The Lord. If there's any good in it, who does it belong to? The Lord. Well, what about your self-esteem? Isn't it bad that you feel so? No. To be able to be a part of something, to be able to be a part of the work of God, to have the blessings of God, to have the comfort of God, to have the love of God just pervading your life on your worst day, to feel like you're getting a hug from Him. I mean, I'm telling you, there's nothing better for the way you feel. Nothing better. And you hear people preach on this, and it's almost like you got to walk around with your lip hanging out onto the floor. You don't have to feel bad about yourself. Obey God, follow Him, and you're going to get to see some great things. You're going to get to see some awesome things. But we must give ourselves over to the Lord. What do we mean by strength? Sometimes when we say the Lord will give you strength, I mean He'll give you physical strength to do things. Like getting out of bed. Like coming to church. Like doing a task that you don't think you're up to. And all of a sudden you're doing that. You're like, I would have never thought I'd be able to do this. And there you are with strength that ain't your own. And it changes everything when you know that you're going to battle with the Lord. We must remember, however, that God, no matter what the situation, is standing right there. And he's ready to give. Lord, where are you? Gideon asks. Where were you? Why? God says, I'm standing right here. I've never abandoned you. I've never left you. I'm right here. And though we cannot go back and we cannot repair everything the way that you want it to be, and we can't make things that happen not happen, this is what we're going to do now. Because where you see someone who is incapable, where you see someone who is hurt, where you see someone whose story is over, God sees a mighty man or woman of valor. Why? Because that is what he is going to make you. That is what he has made you. It is not you who has to fix all of Israel. It is not you who has to defeat every enemy. But instead, it is the Lord. So what do? I must close my eyes and I must pray. Lord, is that not what the Israelites, is that not their first problem? They didn't call out unto him. They were in it thick and it was getting thicker. And they called out to him, Lord, help. Help. Oh, we all want to be tough guys. We all want to be the strong person in the situation. We all want to be right. But let's face it, we all need a little help. And the more honest you are with yourself, the more help you realize you need. And sometimes we ask generally, Lord, just help this situation. Lord, help our services today. Lord, help me as I preach. Lord, help me get down the road as we take this car trip. Lord, help, help, help. Sometimes it's general. Sometimes it's very specific. Lord, help these tears to dry up. Lord, help me to have a peace and a calm. Lord, take my anger away. Lord, take away the frustration. Lord, give me clarity of thought. I can't figure this problem out. Lord, help me find in your word the things that I'm supposed to do. Lord, I know that in this situation you've given all this precedent for me to study, for me to be able to adapt into what my situation is here. Lord, just help me to find it. And Lord, give me the strength to be able to ask you for help. And Lord, if I'm having a hard time focusing, Lord, give me the strength to ask my pastor to help me out too. You know, I can find stuff for you. I can talk to you. Help. And sometimes in asking for God's help, we realize that in that help that he's giving us, part of it is advice on how to stop doing things that we got to stop doing. Don't do that. Well, Lord, no, I'm asking for help, not for you to change my life. Yeah, see, that's a problem. You know, I had a problem one time at work. I was trying to fix something. And I could not get my drill to kind of like, I was screwing on something and the thing would turn. I just couldn't get it. And I'm pushing on the button, and it's whirring, and I can't get it to work. My boss had to come over. He took his drill. He put his drill on it. Zip! Pulled it right out. He sat there, he took my drill, he hung onto the bit, and he spun it, and it just, but nothing moved. Because your thing's broken. He walked away. I felt so stupid. I was cursing the machine, I was cursing the screw, everything other than thinking there was something I was doing wrong or something that was broken on my side. Sometimes we need to clear away the rubble before we can rebuild. Sometimes we've got to stop a system filled with sin that's preventing us from moving forward. And even so, guilt and shame cloud and crud everything up. Think about the time where you were the most brokenhearted in your life. Can I ask you something? Did you force yourself to guilt? You did, didn't you? Because we do that. Well, how is this my fault? What could I have done differently? You know why you do that? You do that to distract yourself from the real pain. And what that does is that stops you from grieving, it stops you from hanging on, and it stops you from moving forward. Why? Because we dwell on guilt instead. My guilt, your guilt, blame, this, that, the other. it clouds the situation and it makes the situation harder to deal with, but it distracts us enough to feel a certain way. Guilt is a silly thing if we've really done nothing wrong. Shame is a terrible thing when you've done nothing wrong. And if we have done something wrong, repentance is the best way for it. But folks, the blame game fixes nothing. It fixes nothing. Lord, help. Lord, forgive. Lord, forgive them. Lord, forgive me. We not just ask for help, but we must ask for forgiveness in times where it is necessary. I have found that I've had problems that weren't even my fault. This case, their problems were their fault. And sometimes things happen, there's nobody's fault, it just happens. And because I was frustrated, then I did sin. I did, like the thing we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, I got angry and I did sin. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for not coming to you first. Forgive me for not resting in you. Forgive me, Lord, for blowing my stack instead of trusting in your powerful hand, instead of obeying you. Lord, forgive me. Lord, provide. Lord, provide comfort, provide help, provide instruction, provide all the things that I need, provide the resources, provide the agreeableness of people, the unity among people to get this done. Lord, provide for my situation. I have found so often when there is nothing left in the tank, God has given more. Well, where'd that come from? I don't know. Well, we didn't have that before. What happened? I remember when my uncle died a couple years ago. There was no money to bury him. And I'm sitting there and the family's like, all right, well, what are we going to do? And I'm scratching and I'm pawing around. And I'm just thinking. And I'm just calling some members of the family and I'm calling some people that I knew him. And I called down to his friend. One of the guys that he did a lot of construction work for, carpentry work for, was a funeral director. And I called him to let him know that my uncle had passed away. He goes, oh man, that's terrible. And we kind of shared a cry together. And he goes, so obviously what's going to happen is I'm going to come get him. And we'll have the funeral down here. And I'll provide for it. And I said, no, we're in Michigan. He says, I know. I don't know, they want to bury him in Kentucky. He goes, I know. I go, no, that's expensive. He goes, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of it. I go, all right, well, we'll get some money together from the family. We'll pull some money together and we'll help pay for your gas and we'll help pay for and obviously we'll get together, we'll pay for the whatever. And he goes, no, I'll handle the casket. I'll handle the service. I'll handle the transportation. That's my friend. I'll take care of it. And I don't know if my uncle died with that guy owing him money or not. But I went from a situation where I had no answers and a bunch of crying people. And all of a sudden I come back with all the solutions. And I didn't do anything to create it. I have found my life filled with moments like that. Well, Lord, how am I supposed to do this? That's provided. Oh, and there may be some people that look at the way God provides and they may look at it and they say, well, you guys must be very pitiful creatures indeed for only being able to produce so much and this and that. But I have always found that God will provide exactly what I need. Maybe not give me the Taj Mahal of things, but he will give me exactly what I need. And folks, that is wonderful to me. To have exactly what you need for a situation is a blessing beyond all things, because there's people out there without. To have what we need and then some, Lord, please provide. And sometimes what needs to be provided are the things that are within me. Lord, give me patience. Lord, give me peace. Give me long-suffering. Give me love. Give me forgiveness that I may forgive others. Lord, remind me again of your mercy that I may show it to everybody around me. Lord, provide. When I look at the kind of man the Bible calls for us to be, calls for me to be, it embarrasses me. How many times we sit there in men's and ladies' fellowships or studies or things I've preached from the pulpit, we see exactly the kind of man or woman God has called us to be, and it's just embarrassing. when we compare where we are to what that says. Even to come up here and try to tell you folks how to live your lives, it is a difficult thing for me knowing that I ain't got it all together myself. Lord, there are things I am missing inside of me. Lord, you're the only one who can help me provide. Because to get from where I am to what you want me to be, I know you say is possible. And therefore, if it's possible, only you can make it possible. So Lord, grant to me those things that I need. Temperance and faith. Love and mercy. We must pray to the Lord and ask Him for those things. The next thing is we need to rely on Him for it. Gideon, right after this, he begins to question or test God. All right, God, hold on. If it's you, hold on, let me go get something. And we're going to, and then, okay, well, that's fine. Well, I'm going to take off this mantle and I'm going to, and hold on, we're just one more test. And he tests the Lord and he tests the Lord and he tests the Lord just to make sure. I don't know about you, but when I measure something, you ever hear that old adage, measure twice, cut once? I'll tell you what, I got to measure four times before I write that thing down. All right. Oh, wait, what was it? All right. I got to write that stuff down. Well, hold on, let me just double check. Check, double check, recheck. God, are you sure? God, are you sure? God, are you sure? Because I don't know, Lord, I don't know. Like, there's people out there say that you can't do everything and that your words can't tell me how to get through stuff and that your will and your ability to heal can't provide. Like, Lord, I just want to make sure. God gets him back, doesn't he? How many men you got? That's too many. Remember, we got to prove who I am. That's too many. I don't want you taking the credit for this. That's too many. How many you got now? Too many. 300 is what he ends up with. How many did Gideon think he had? Zero. I got nothing, Lord. How am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to save Israel? I don't have no money. I can't hire anybody. I don't have no food to feed them. I got nothing. And he ends up with thousands of people, and the Lord cuts it down to 300. And the Lord gives him the victory once. Without having to hit a single person, the Lord gives him the victory. And then later, when that number is dwindled down because of the mass confusion and them hurting themselves, they're down to 15,000 people and they carve them apart with 300. You need to rely on Him for the solution. You need to rely on Him. You need to trust Him. Well, this is the kind of person you're supposed to be. This is what I promised you. I promised that I would heal you. I promised I would do all these things for you. This is how to get there. I don't know if I can get there, Lord. Trust Him. And go. Well, Lord, you don't get it. I'm scared. Of course you're scared because you're used to doing it by yourself. Come walk with me. I'll show you. There was a man, Cliff Chrisman, who was a pastor down in Kentucky. And we would fellowship pretty often with him down there when we were back in Flat Rock. And he took us to this camp that we're going to now. And my pastor tells a story about how they go for a walk at night. And, of course, it's not the kind of place where you want to go. And my pastor's a little concerned. He goes, aren't there rattlesnakes and things like that? He goes, yeah, don't worry about it. Come with me. And just to let you know about this pastor, man, Cliff Crisp, if he saw a snake, man, he could take the eye out of the thing. With the accuracy he was with a gun, man, there was nothing in those woods he was afraid of, especially with what he carried around with him. There was no reason for him to be afraid of anything. Trust me. Shouldn't we trust God more than that? You're going to take your car sometime this week. If you're on the freeway, you're going to take your car. You're going to go 70 miles an hour at least. Maybe some of you are going to pass 70, but you're going to at least go 70 miles an hour out on that freeway. That is a lot of trust on your tires. That is a lot of trust you're putting on some steel and plastic. You're sitting in that chair. You've never even once questioned whether that chair is going to fall out from underneath you, do you? Because you trust it. How about the stairs? You walked up those stairs. You didn't even look at those stairs, did you? You just trusted they were going to do what they were supposed to do. But God, you got questions for. The earth spins. You woke up this morning to a beautiful sun sitting outside, and you trust that when you wake up tomorrow morning, that sun's going to be there doing the same. And if ever it doesn't show up for work, we're all dead. But you didn't even check to make sure it was out there, did you? You just felt the sun. You just went about, oh, it's light. We trust the sun. We trust all of God's creation. But we want to check and double check him. Just trust him. Lord, I don't know why you chose this path. Lord, I don't know why we got to go through here. But I do know this. I know what to do. And I know you. I know what to do. And I know you. Armed with those two things, you've got everything. Imagine Mary and Martha as they approach the tomb of Christ, and there they are with all of the things required to embalm him, and they're walking up, and there they are, they're sad. Hey, we don't know what's happening. We don't know why it had to happen like this, but we do know what we got to do now. And the Lord shows up and says, that's not what I told you to do. You should do this. It was that angel shows up. Don't do that. Do this. Go and tell the disciples. Go get them. Go tell everybody what's happened here. We got to trust in the Lord above our own desires, above our own thoughts. Whether we think something is possible or not. While things happen to us in our lives and while challenges present ourselves, we understand that there'll be things that happen in our lives where we will maybe never be the same, but it does not mean we have to be diminished. It doesn't mean we have to be less. It is perfectly possible for a child of God to go through the worst of circumstances and come up perfectly stronger, and that's because God is who he is. How can I gain during loss? How can I grow when I don't feel like I've got the ability to stand on my own two feet? How am I supposed to be the child of God I'm supposed to be when I know what my limits are? No. We do what God has asked us to do and we allow him to fill the gap. We trust in him to do what he has promised to do. And ultimately, we almost come to realize is as he's sitting there going, well, how? We got to realize that not only is he the solution, but so very often we get to be his hands in that solution. I have to preach the truth. I have to be a source of comfort. I have to step in and do this or that. I have to provide for this. I have to put in the work for that. So often we're happy to sit and talk about all the things that need to be done, but scarce to do the things that we can do. Well, I know that what I need to do is this. How many times have you said that about yourself? Something where it comes down to God's will and where you are. This is what I know needs to be done, but you don't ever do anything about it. I just don't know how I'm ever going to change. You get to be a part of that solution. Oh, I've got this problem going on in my family right now. What do? You get to be a part of the solution by honoring God and doing things his way and doing the things he tells you to do. By giving love and mercy and charity in situations. You get to be a part of that. Well, I tell you what, churches ain't the way they used to be. Used to be we would have this, that, and the other. Can I tell you something about the good old days? The good old days are good old days because we forget about the bad things that were going on. Like when a woman gives birth to a child, how quickly she forgets the pain she had to go through. Because I tell you what, most families would be stuck at one child were it not for that little miracle. We forget the bad things. We cherish the good things, and those are the good old days. You know what separates the good old days from today? Nothing. If there are things that went well, you get to do those now. We used to have people in the church that knew scripture like this, that, or the other. You be that person. Man, people used to go and pick people up for church and bring them in. That's you. Man, used to be if ever there was something going wrong, we'd get cards and love and flowers and meals. That's you! God provides. And part of that provision is you. He has loaded you up with His Spirit. He has loaded you up with His Word. It is ours to go forth and obey Him. And watch in that obedience how we can help fix a lot of things. How we can solve a lot of problems. And for the things that we cannot fix and the things that we cannot solve, we can provide comfort, love, and a warm embrace for the people going through the things that cannot be changed. Gideon asked, "Where are you, Lord?" And he looks at him. "Right here. I'm right here. Bags full of solutions. I'm right here. The Holy Spirit Himself is given the title of Comforter. God our Father being the provider, the builder, the one who executes all things according to His will. Jesus Christ who died, having lived a perfect life, that we may fear nothing, not even death itself. And the Holy Spirit to comfort us every day. He says, I'm right here. Look at me. In every situation, whether it is a personal challenge, whether it is loss, whether it is pain, no matter what creature you're trying to catch, you do not do it alone. You cannot do it alone. What must we then do? Lean upon the Lord. Pray, Father, help me. And then we take the help that He's given and we put it to use. And we never become like Gideon where the solution's always standing there and we still feel like there's nothing. We have the answer. We have the materials. We just got to get it done. Nothing we do alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to say that nothing we do alone. Lord, You're so good to us. But Father, we know this, that if we spurn Your help, if we turn from You, Father, if we try to do things in our own way with our own mindset, Lord, we'll make a bad situation worse. And Lord, that's exactly what the children of Israel did time and time again throughout the book of Judges. And Lord, that is what we've done in our lives. So Father, I ask this, You give strength where we need it. Wisdom and knowledge where it's required. And Father, where our hearts are broken, I pray You mend us. Lord, give us comfort and peace. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Page 500.